Thank you, Mr. Bowen. Greetings, everyone. Welcome. Everyone here in person as well as on the camera. I was reminded recently to not neglect the camera. Certainly for those of you that aren't here that might be tuning in later. Wish you were here, but glad that you're able to receive the services in one form or another. So, of course, last weekend we had the regional weekend, and I, for one, thought it was wonderful. Heard a lot of feedback as well. So definitely a heartfelt thank you to everyone that had a part to play in that. It was really, really wonderful, and I know my family looks forward to each regional weekend, not only here but everywhere else. Speaking of my family, I am solo today. They all decided that I'm the only sinner in the family this week, and they're too righteous, so they sent me. Mr. Welch, they might need some counseling, so just a heads up on that. So, no, actually, they've all suffered from a stomach bug at some point or another this week, and I'm the sole survivor. And I'll keep my distance from you guys just in case I happen to be carrying something, but usually I'm a little more resilient than them. How do we go about our lives in a fashion that is suitable to God? That's the question I want to start off with today. And of course, it seems pretty straightforward. While we're here at services each week in what I would consider a proper frame of mind, but yet, when we walk away from here, it is not effortless. We go back into the world, particularly when you factor in the conditions that are all around us. Of course, there are conditions internal to the church. It's no secret that there have been many trials in the church recently, and in this very congregation, it seems like more than normal. And I know many of you are still struggling. Others of us, maybe not so much. I personally feel very blessed to not be struggling too much, but I know we're not done. It's not over. We know about what the future holds for the world as a whole, and that it will get worse before it gets better. But even in real good conditions of the world, we still have personal struggles in our own lives, struggles and challenges. We live in a world of stress and tension. Some of you may work in an environment that's defined as a high-performance organization. And many of those skills that are applicable in that kind of an organization may not seem so important, especially when viewed from a perspective of God's perspective. So, in fact, some of those skills actually are counter to God's purposes. So I ask again, how do we do it? How do we live in this world but not of this world, and thus live in a fashion that is suitable to God? Well, the answer, of course, there are many answers. First and foremost, we must have faith and trust in God. We must utilize His Holy Spirit, which He grants to us. There's Bible study, prayer, fasting, the Sabbath, the holy days. You know all of these things, and they're very, very important for maintaining our relationship with God. But today, I want to focus on one of the tools, I put quotes around that, one of the tools that God provides to us in our endeavor. That tool is here with us today. It's here every week that we meet here, or for that matter, anywhere else we may meet on a weekly basis. So what tool am I referring to? I already referred to the Holy Spirit, so it's not that, as important as that is. But yet, it is another relationship, or more accurately, relationships in the plural form. I'm referring to relationships among the body of Christ. But before I go too far, I want to ask, why is this my topic? What is my purpose? Number one, it's to motivate and encourage those who need it. Number two, to congratulate others on a job well done. And number three, to thank those of you that go out of your way to foster those relationships with others. Now, typically, our elders in this congregation and any other congregation excel at relationships. But there are others, and you know who you are. I won't name names. But truth be told, we all do this to varying degrees. We foster relationships, both in and out of the church, but focusing here within the church. Now, there are a lot of personalities and circumstances that come into play, a lot of things that drive the general tendencies of a given person and their individual relationships. But ultimately, it's about getting to know a person. That's where it all starts. It's like getting off the starting line of a race or launching a rocket up into space. Without it, you won't win that race and you won't get that rocket off the launch pad, or you won't get it to the moon. And then with relationships, if you really don't get to know someone, you won't develop a meaningful relationship. Now, I could ask for a show of hands, but I won't. Let's just take an informal survey in your mind to name one person in this very room who has proven hard to get to know. Don't say any names. Don't blur anything out. But if you don't know how to spell my name, it's Philip with one L, Baughman, B-A-U-G-H-M-A-N. Because yes, I know. I fully expect my name would be right up there towards the top, if not number one. And I do also know that Jesus did not mean that in verse 20:16 of Matthew when he said, "The last shall be first and the first last." But unfortunately, I probably am first in that list. So, but seriously, not all of us are blessed with the personality of a social butterfly, of which there are quite a few in this congregation, my spouse included. For some of those people, it comes naturally. And for others, I'm sure, even though it may appear natural, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And regardless of whether, for you, whether it comes easy or not, if you forge those relationships, I do commend you. You do good and you have pleased our God. But as I alluded to a moment ago, I struggle. And that's my confession for today. Philip Baughman, I struggle with relationships. I am difficult to get to know. But my bet is that there are others here today that are just like me. Statistics would suggest the numbers are with me. But if all else, maybe I'm speaking to and about myself, and there's probably some benefit to that as well. But if you are one of those like me and you struggle, come see me. We've already got something in common, so we'll be off to a great start. Now, a question, moving on here. Why are our relationships within the body of Christ important? Is it merely to meet and greet at services, to pass the time before and after? Of course not. It's not just a social gathering, although that is a component of it. Let's take a look in our Bibles. If you'll turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. And for your notes, we'll be covering verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. And in verse 9, we read, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." Again, in verse 11, "If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Did you catch those points? There was a lot in there. We read, if you fail, your companion will lift you up. We all fail at one time or another. Basically, I would summarize it as we are stronger in number. Don't turn here, but to Galatians 6, verse 2 for your notes. Don't turn there because I'm just going to go ahead and read it. There are a few scriptures in here, and since we started late, kind of going to keep things moving along, try to get us on track. But in Galatians 6, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So again, we help each other when we fall, when we struggle. Another scripture, don't turn there, but Romans 1, verses 11 through 12. Paul writing to the Romans in chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." So by that, God intends for us to share ourselves. Of course, never in place of him. He is first and foremost, as we know from other scriptures. But to share ourselves, to build bonds within the body of Christ, to draw strength and encouragement from our collective experiences. And Paul again gives instructions to the church in Thessalonica, and you will, if you would, turn to the scripture with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again for your notes, verses 11 through 14. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, but at peace, be at peace among yourself. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Comfort one another, edify one another, uphold each other. Again, the common thread to the other verses that we read. Now, how can we do these things effectively if we've not put forth the time and effort to build relationships? Of course, we can read about someone, we often do, in a prayer list that comes via email, someone up north, someone in another country altogether. And certainly, we can and should pray for them. But all the more, if we really know someone, which we should know people in our own congregation, we will more truly feel for them. We'll be more empathetic for them and their struggles and be able to help them. Now, I spoke earlier about my struggle and how I'm not a natural people person. And as I said, there are probably others out there in the audience like me out there today. So I say to you, one way or another, you have relationships with other people, as we all do, whether it be job, school, neighbors, and so forth. But recognize that our relationships should be more than just happenstance, those that we find ourselves in company of at work or school and so forth. Now, there is a purpose in those relationships, don't get me wrong. We certainly need to set an example and be a shining light. But God does intend for us to have relationships here amongst ourselves within the body of Christ. For we are of like mind. To form those bonds and to be there for each other through thick and thin, when the time of need arises, we're there to help each other along. So, to have these relationships, it's of benefit to the person sitting next to you, the person in front of you, behind you, etc., all around in this room. You get that picture. But please don't miss that part of the picture, which is you, because someday you will need these relationships. And to the rest of you, those of you that have more skill than I, more natural ability, I'm working on it. I've improved, but I'm working on it. Be friendly, as you always are. But also be patient. Maybe consider praying for those of us that are a little more challenged. And we will come around and maybe, just maybe, provide that helping hand to you in your time of need. So in closing, I've got one more scripture for all of us. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 25, verses 37 through 40. Matthew 25, 37 through 40. Now, in the preceding verses 34 through 36, Christ is speaking of his future kingdom after he returns, where he's inviting the righteous to enter the kingdom, to join him. And he says, for the things that they had done for him. That's a paraphrase of those scriptures. For the things that they had done for him. And in 37, we hear what their response will be. And this should be. He's referring to the righteous, which theoretically should be us, right? Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick, in prison, and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, and as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now, commonly we think of that verse and look at that verse as applying to our relationships everywhere throughout the world. And I don't mean to take away from that. That is absolutely the case. We need to treat everyone as Christ set the example for us. But, again, a reminder, it also applies to those of us in this very room. Our relationships, including those within the body of Christ, are a parallel to our relationship to Christ himself. So, in closing, just let's not neglect this important aspect of our calling.